everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. Welcome to the Buckmaster Show. It is Wednesday, the midweek edition, July 11th, 2012. Where has this year gone? We're almost, well, beyond the mid-year point. Home of the Buckmaster Show, AM 1030, KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We are also Southern Arizona's most powerful news talk station with fantastic reach. Pretty much all the way up to Phoenix to the north, New Mexico to the east, and not quite sure how far to the west, maybe certainly beyond Ajo and pushing toward Yuma. We live stream the show at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com, so you can get the program live streamed on two locations, and we make it very easy for you to hear the program anywhere, anytime, 24/7 listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. The folks at Gannett and TucsonCitizen.com are kind enough to carry our program as well, as does Tucson's online news service, TucsonSentinel.com. So we have three sources for you to have the program posted at, so making it very easy for you. We launched this newly minted Wednesday afternoon with a newsmaker interview with Richard Elias. Mr. Elias, Pima County Supervisor, with us. 30 minutes past the hour, we resume the Buckmaster Show candidate interview series. We're doing our best to go through as many of the local candidates as possible. Today we will meet the District 9 Republican State Senate hopeful Tyler Mott. And then we'll close out the show with Pima County's new director of the library system, Melinda Cervantes, will be joining us. We are live Monday through Friday, noon to 1, and we encourage you to be part of the conversation. If you have a question or comment for Supervisor Elias, 790-2040 for the Buckmaster Show live line. Richard Elias joining me now. How are you, Richard?
I'm doing great, Bill, and just pleased to be on your show and pleased that Willie Nelson is going to perform here in Tucson tonight at the Fox. Maybe they should make it a holiday. Anytime Willie Nelson plays in your community, it a holiday.
I like the venue, kind of the intimate setting of the Fox, and to see Willie in that kind of a setting is really cool.
Amazing, yeah.
It really is. Top story of the day, Pima County. According to a Superior Court judge, Kenneth Lee was arbitrary and capricious in denying an air quality permit for Rosemont, its proposed open pit mine in the Santa Rita Mountains southeast of Tucson. Richard Elias, does this mean now the county must grant a permit to Rosemont?
No. What the judge said was that Rosemont needs to make sure and fill in the gaps in their application that they send in to Pima County for an air quality permit. They said that we didn't have a full set of information in order to deny that permit. And so really, the ball is back in Rosemont's court, and it looks like they're going to shop around to try and find the answer they want. They're going to shop it to the Arizona Department of Environmental Quality and to the Pima County Department of Environmental Quality and see if they can sneak their way into getting an air quality permit.
The substance of whether the mine's emissions would meet air quality standards really weren't part of this ruling.
Right.
This was more of a technical and procedural grounds.
Exactly.
Does it really change anything?
No, it really doesn't change anything except for the fact that Rosemont has an opportunity now to resubmit an application to the county for that air quality permit. And hopefully they'll supply all the information that the county has requested.
And while continuing its fight over a proposed mine in the Santa Ritas, the Pima County Board of Supervisors, you, Mr. Elias, and your colleagues yesterday gave unanimous approval to a copper mining project in the Santa Catalinas. This is the Oracle Mine Ridge. To some folks, seeing these two stories in the paper today, they say, well, why are the supervisors saying yes to a mine in the Catalinas and no to one in the Santa Ritas?
Well, there's several things at hand. Number one, I think it shows that we're not opposed to mining. We're opposed to Rosemont because of its location and because of the type of activity that they've committed to performing in building that mine and operating that mine. The mine at Oracle Ridge is significantly different. It's underground. The crusher is going to be underground, so there's not going to be the dust particle emissions that are going to be so harmful to human health. The water that they've committed to using is in a perched kind of aquifer surrounded by limestone. And when that runs out, they're going to run a pipeline from a well significantly down the mountain further to use. So they've also been very cooperative and complied with all the things the county has asked them to provide. So it goes right back to the story that we did a minute ago about Rosemont not providing the information that we've asked for. Oracle Ridge Mine has been the complete opposite, and they've been forthcoming, and they've been honest, and we approved that mine, even with the concerns that we have about the amount of water that it uses and about those tailing ponds and what that's going to mean for all of us, because we understand that it's a balance in the world.
And there are jobs here.
And there are serious jobs here that are good.
240 jobs are going to be created with this new mine project, Oracle Mine, Oracle Ridge Mine, which is 7 miles north of Summerhaven, and it last operated in 1996. So you say there's a significant difference between these two mining projects that we're talking about.
Absolutely. Very different operations, very different kind of corporate cooperation.
Coming up now on 12:11 on the Buckmaster Show, Richard Elias is with us, Pima County Supervisor. Let's go now to the Buckmaster Show live line. We have Russ with us. Russ, you're with Supervisor Elias.
Thank you, Bill. Hi, Richard. My name is Russ. I worked with you about 3 years ago. We had the situation with NextG coming in with the co-locating of the towers and the things with TEP. I don't know if you're familiar, if you could remember that.
I don't remember specifically what cell tower we're talking about, but okay. Yeah, we looked at a lot of them.
Okay, well, NextG actually came in. They did co-locating with TEP things and several of the neighborhoods. And basically what happened when they were given the variance, I remember the vote for the supervisors was 4-1, and I was very proud. You're the one that was voted no, because they were... Anyhow, but the long story was, they allowed them to put this electronic things in about the size of a freezer right on the edge of my property, and the county required that they landscape around it. Well, NextG never did landscape around it, and I put in twice to the county the report online that there, you know, wasn't landscaped, and it's an eyesore.
Can Russ call your office or somebody's office, Richard, to get some help?
Absolutely, Russ. I was going to say, please give me a call at 740-8126.
740-8126.
And send us those photos, if you can, on email. We have a district5@pima.gov email that you could send us to, those photos, and we'll get working on it today.
All right. How's that, Russ?
I appreciate it, and I won't keep your time. Thank you a million, Richard, and I'll do exactly that. Thank you for your support.
Okay. No problem.
Thanks a lot. Russ on the Buckmaster Show live line. Let's go now to David about Oracle Ridge Mine. Back to mining. Go ahead, David.
Yeah, I remember there was a mine on the north side of the Catalinas that had these big tubes that went down the mountain. Is that the one they're talking about?
Yes, it is.
Oh, it is?
Yes, the same mine that was in operation back in the 90s, their application is to restart operations there at that mine.
Oh, so it's the one where did they take the tubes down? Or?
I'm not sure if those tubes have been removed. That was a part of the water reclamation system that they had at the time. And even if they have been removed, likely there will be some above-ground piping that will be going on there.
Oh, what elevation is it?
It's a little further down the hill, probably at about 5,000 feet.
Oh, can you get there by road?
You can get there by the Oracle Access Road, which
yeah, the other side
starts
of the
on the back side of the mountain, or about 4 miles short of Summerhaven.
Okay. David, thank you very much. David with us on the Buckmaster Show, 790-2040, 790-2040. Before we take the break, let's a quick question again about Rosemont. I think for the first time in 20 years, Richard Elias, each of the Pima County supervisors will have an election this year. One of the seats will be open, of course, Ande in Supervisorial District 1. There are four Republicans who are going to battle it out in the primary to meet Nancy Young Wright, the Democrat. By the way, we plan to have those four Republicans back on the show within the next couple of weeks so folks can hear again from them. But is this kind of a I've asked this before about – you see this as kind of a referendum on Rosemont?
I think in some ways it is. And I think people have a lot of questions about government right now and what we've been doing. But Rosemont is the biggest question here in southern Arizona. So I think a lot of folks will look at it that way due to the fact that all five of the supervisors have been opposed to Rosemont.
And we had Mr. Gonzalez, who is facing you in the general election, a Republican, will be going up against Richard Elias. So what – bottom line for your campaign, your main issue will be?
My main issue is really about maintaining the fiscal sustainability that Pima County has really delivered to the taxpayers during the worst financial crisis in the history of the United States. So that's something I'm proud of, and I think it's something we need to continue, finding more efficient ways to provide government with less funding. It's a difficult time to be in government, but I think that Pima County has done an excellent job of bucking the national trend.
And that Pima County is not creating enough jobs, that's one of the knocks?
Certainly, and I think that that's my number two issue is creating more jobs here in our community. I think we've done a good job with the bond money that we've had, and I think my leadership on the issue of soccer and football here in Pima County has created a lot of good non-polluting jobs that are going to continue to grow in the next couple of years here with professional sports. So I'm proud of that work too.
Coming up now on 12:17 on the Buckmaster Show, we are going to take our first break here on the program. We will return with Richard Elias, talk to him a little bit about the Visitors Bureau and the Board of Supervisors' action concerning the Bureau at yesterday's meeting. That's next as we continue with Buckmaster on a Wednesday.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
A simple solution to foot and lower back problems could be a top-quality, custom-made foot orthotic created by Bob Novak. A certified pet orthist, Bob is the best in Southern Arizona in the creation of the right foot support that your body needs and at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak a call, 795-2553, or visit him at Arizona Limb and Brace, Rosemont and Fifth Street. Your feet will thank you every day.
For 5 years, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways, with more than a dozen projects underway, including the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, SunExpress, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Two of the world's largest pharmaceutical giants, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, know where bio works. It works at Innovation Park in Oro Valley, one of the 10 best towns for families, according to Family Circle magazine. Bioscience and bioindustry, working together at Innovation Park with 275 acres of inspiring environment ready for bio development. Learn more about where bio works at innovationparkaz.com. Noble Hops Gastro Pub is for people who revere their beer and their food. Noble Hops specializes in high-quality, delicious food and offers an impressive, ever-changing selection of handcrafted beers from around the world with more than 24 on tap. Noble Hops, a pub for foodies at the southeast corner of La Canada and Lambert in Oro Valley, and always on the web at noblehopspub.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union, improve your financial life.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show at 1221, and this portion of our program is presented by Silver City, Grant County, New Mexico. Just 3.5 hours east of Tucson, visit historic Pinos Altos, City of Rock State Park, Fort Bayard Historic Site, or you can fish at Lake Roberts or at Bill Evans Lake, hike along that beautiful Continental Divide Trail with all the rains they've been having now. Things starting to green up along the Continental Divide Trail. Or explore one of my favorite areas, the Cliff Dwellings National Monument. And there is plenty of great accommodations in the area, including Continental Divide RV Park. To find out more, please visit southwestnewmexico.org. Well, we are talking with Richard Elias, and he is a supervisor in Pima County, Arizona. And Richard is with us. We've been talking about mining. But, Richard, I want to talk about what I think will be a wonderful resource for our veterans in this community. It's a Veterans Workforce Center that really is going to be, I guess, a one-stop career center and pretty much a first for the nation.
Yeah, absolutely. We're very proud of the partnership that was created to give us the nation's first Veterans Workforce Center. And it's a great opportunity to find that peer support, career counseling, computers and office equipment that's available. Not only that, but benefits counseling and claims assistance, things that are – those are just massive issues for vets. And assistance with housing, that's another one that's really important. Adult education and linking into what we have available there. Behavioral health services and recovery issues are huge for vets as well. And those issues will be able to be linked with the providers here in town. And I think it's a real great opportunity as well for some of our employers to take advantage of the Returning Heroes Tax Credit. Which gives you up to $2,400 for hiring a vet who's been unemployed.
That's fantastic. You know, the homeless population of veterans has just been exploding. That's an issue we addressed here on the program within the last couple of weeks. Then Monday we had our monthly visit with General John Wickham, former Chief of Staff of the U.S. Army. He was talking about we really do need to help our vets get jobs. These people are coming back. They've served lots of tours usually over in Afghanistan and Iraq, and they need work.
Absolutely. They need work, they're well qualified, and there's good incentives for employers as well. Like I said, that's only one, the Returning Heroes Tax Credit, but
And this center, we should tell where it is. That's over on at Ajo Way, is that it?
It's on Ajo Way, right there at Ajo and Forges, across the street from Keno Stadium and University of Arizona Healthcare Campus on the south side. It's a great place. You're going to find a welcoming group of people who work there who care very much about helping vets and making sure that our community is strong in its response to welcoming home those guys who have and women who have served 4 and 5 times in war zones at this point.
Multiple tours, certainly. That opens up Monday, this upcoming Monday, July 16th. Again, it's 2801 East Ajo Way, right by the stadium. Yesterday, the Board of Supervisors gave the final recommendation to a Visitors Bureau Audit Committee. This really closes the door on a 21-month process to improve accountability at the Bureau, the Metropolitan Tucson Convention and Visitors Bureau. What do you like about this decision, Richard?
Well, you know, there's a new set of leadership in place that have created some new goals and some new ways of doing business that makes government, their chief funding source, actual partners with them in making decisions about how money gets spent and what's the most efficient way for them to make sure that people know what a great place we have here in Pima County and Tucson and in fact, all of Southern Arizona. And creating stronger links with our neighbors in Mexico is something that's been elusive for many years. But again, refocusing on that, and I know Felipe Garcia, who's the new executive vice president, is working hard on bringing some more Mexican League baseball teams here in October. But really, this is about accountability and leadership. The leadership changed. The board has gotten stronger and added new members. And frankly, the goals that they've created for performance measure have been increased dramatically, are numeric in nature, and actually have meaning. So we're very pleased with the changes that the CVB made, and we look forward to working with them even more in the future.
I think it's so important that we promote our tourism. I mean, come on. That's one of the pillars of this community. And I see that the Bureau's revenues are down 38% from the fiscal 2007. The Bureau's budget, $6.2 million. So Pima County really stepping up to the plate to help the Visitors Bureau. Meanwhile, the city of Tucson has cut its support to 20% of its bed tax collections. And I know that your colleague Ann Day really scolded the city yesterday for lowering the funding rather than really helping create more tourism in this community.
Well, and it's a tragedy when you see that kind of drop in funding for a subject that's so important. If we're going to rebuild our economy here in Pima County and Southern Arizona and the city of Tucson and Marana and Oro Valley, South Tucson, tourism has to be one of the main tenets of rebuilding that economy. The opportunity that we have with the natural resources that exist in the area, existing beautiful places separate of those natural resources, and the opportunity for, I think, ecotourism is really beyond comprehension. That's a big part of our future. That's why we need to protect our air, protect our water, and make sure that we have the beauty of the lower Sonoran Desert all around us for perpetuity.
It wouldn't be an interview with Richard Elias if I didn't ask you about your friends in Marana. They're seeking an okay on the wastewater facility over there. And, of course, Pima County and Marana have been at loggerheads over this sewage treatment plant. It may not be the most, really generating a lot of public interest, but it is an important subject, isn't it?
Well, it is very important, actually. And it's kind of sad because separate from all the court cases, we offered Marana 90% of the effluent from their plant for free. They've insisted on taking over the plant and operating it at, frankly, more than $2 million a year. It's the second most expensive plant to operate out of the 11 wastewater plants that Pima County operates. They've spent over a million dollars in attorney's fees, which were basically awarded to Pima County in the last decision.
On and on it goes.
On and on it goes. We're really concerned about our ratepayers being compensated for the full value of that plant. But we're also very concerned about the ratepayers in Marana having to pay an exorbitant amount of money to operate that wastewater plant there. They ought to take a look at what happened in Sahuarita, and they would be shocked.
Richard Elias, thank you very much for being with us. Have a great week and a great afternoon.
Thank you, Bill. It's always great to be on your program.
Thanks a lot. Richard Elias on the Buckmaster Show. Our candidate series continues. Tyler Mott is standing by. He's a candidate for the Arizona State Senate as we continue with the midweek edition of Buckmaster.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. A high-level Syrian diplomat has reportedly defected, according to a Syrian opposition figure. The Syrian ambassador to Iraq is thought to be on his way to seek asylum in Turkey. Mitt Romney has been given a generally polite but occasionally rocky reception today by the NAACP at its annual meeting in Houston. Romney was booed when he talked about repealing the president's health care law. The president of Florida A&M University has submitted his resignation. The move came on the same day the university was sued by parents of a drum major who died during a hazing. Stocks have been falling again after the Fed said it's concerned about the strength of the U.S. economy. Right now on Wall Street, the Dow down 91 points, the Nasdaq off 26. More details at srnnews.com.
Let Karimi Oriental Rugs keep your valuable rugs looking like new with Arizona's finest cleaning, repair, and restoration. Karimi specializes in restoring antique, silk, and Navajo rugs with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Stop by Karimi Oriental Rugs at East Fort Lowell and Dodge and say hello to owner-operator Amir Karimi. Sale, purchase, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. It's KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
Why should you fly at a TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
With 275 acres of stunning environment, Innovation Park in Oro Valley is ready for development. Already two of the world's largest pharmaceuticals, Roche's Ventana Medical Systems and Sanofi, are settled in Innovation Park. Innovation Park, a great place to do business in Oro Valley, named one of the 10 best towns for families by Family Circle magazine. Find out more at innovationparkaz.com.
Dragonfly Village is in the midst of a capital campaign to build a 12-building village on a portion of the Amity Foundation's Circle Tree Ranch to reunite children in need with their families. Upon completion, the village will have housing for 100 families annually. Please be a part of making the Dragonfly Village dream a reality. Find out more at dragonflyvillage.org. That's dragonflyvillage.org.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
To the Buckmaster Show, and this portion of our program is presented in part from Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley. Splendido is a true continuing care retirement community. They've got a great website. Check it out, SplendidoTucson.com. Today, our candidate interview series spotlights the race for the Arizona Senate in District 9. District 9 runs from Interstate 10 on the north side of town, east through the Catalina foothills and the Casas Adobes neighborhood, into Midtown Tucson and to Sabino Canyon. It's considered one of the relatively few competitive districts in the state. Democratic Representative Steve Farley wants to replace termed-out Senator Paula Aboud. Farley is facing a challenge from Republican Tyler Mott, the president of the Pima County Young Republicans. Mr. Mott joins me now in studio on the Buckmaster Show. Tyler, how are you today?
I'm doing well, Bill. How are you doing?
I'm doing real well. Tell me about why you got into politics. You've obviously felt strongly about it enough to get into the Young Republicans. What is it about politics that kind of resonated with you?
Well, I just think that public service is a calling in life that people that is actually very honorable. A lot of people look at career politicians as a bad thing, but I think that it depends on what the person's doing. A lot of our founding fathers spent a lot of time in the political sphere, and they did a lot of good to get freedom back, liberty, and those things. So I think that liberty is a very important thing, and just getting out there to help people. That's why I'm really involved in politics.
Tell us a little bit about yourself. What is your background?
Well, my wife and I have been married for 3 years. As of yesterday, we just celebrated our third anniversary.
Congratulations. You've got three under your belt.
We want three
from
more.
A guy who just celebrated his 40th, three's not bad. You're on the road.
Well, congratulations to
Thank
you.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
My wife, she's a local teacher. She teaches fifth grade. She was born here in Tucson at TMC. I was my family moved here to Tucson back in 1984 when I was 6 years old. And my dad is a physician with the Air Force at the time, so he came in as an active duty Air Force surgeon.
And to Davis-Monthan?
Correct.
Yeah.
So we moved here with the family to Davis-Monthan, and we've lived here since 84, and I've been here almost continuously since then, except for some time that I spent doing military training away and 2 years that I spent serving as a missionary down in Argentina. And about 5 months that I spent doing a study abroad in Italy.
You are a member of the Army Reserve, and we thank you for your service. And why did you decide to go into the Reserve?
Well, I think that there is a calling for everyone to actually serve in some way, and I've always felt that it was very important to serve for my country, to give back. I think I've always been very patriotic, and when I was at the U of A, we sponsored an initiative to get American flags put in all the classrooms, and eventually it got passed as a state law back in 2006.
I remember that. Yeah, that is the law now. So the military reserve and military, very important to you. The F-35 issue, have you taken a stand on that?
Well, I think it would be very good for the area to have the F-35 here. We need to have more of a stronger future with better aircraft. We are now going up against a Chinese military that is becoming more and more dominant in that sphere, and we have to keep up with them. Sadly enough, that I'm afraid that at some point they could pass us militarily if we don't do what we need to do.
Talking with Tyler Mott, he is running against Steve Farley. It'd be Tyler, a Republican, and Steve Farley, the Democrat, in the Senate District Race Number 9. What about this district? I mentioned it's really pretty competitive, isn't it?
Correct. There is a slight Democratic advantage, but I got an email this morning saying that the advantage has actually even dissipated a little bit since the last numbers came in. The Democratic registration advantage – or the Democratic registration numbers went down by a half a point. Republican numbers went up by a half a point. It's less than 3 percentage points difference between the two parties, and there are a lot of independents in the area. So I plan on focusing on the independents to try to get as many of those to a common sense conservative type of vision that I think I can share with them.
We're talking with Tyler Mott, and we're talking about his campaign. He's a Republican. Let's talk about some of the issues now that you see perhaps that separate you from your opponent, Mr. Farley.
Well, I think that the first thing, first and foremost, is that the economic recession has hurt Arizona families. It's hurt families in Tucson, and they're struggling in a very – they have a very acute sense of the pain that's being suffered. And I think that what we need to do is help businesses so they can start rehiring people. People are unemployed or underemployed, and when we have a business climate that businesses know what to expect with tax policy and things like that, they will be able to start hiring again. Regulatory burdens in Arizona are very high. We've heard about this a lot, but it is very true. And so we can do a lot of things to make it so the businesses will be happy to be here, to locate here, and help people who are unemployed or underemployed so that they can have find jobs or find better high-paying jobs that they are already trained to do.
You mentioned that your wife is a teacher. I wonder how you feel now about the education, the 1 cent sales tax initiative.
Well, education is very important, of course. Education is to the state what national defense is to the federal government. It needs to be our top priority. And education, of course, is very important. In my family, with my wife being a teacher, I do not support the 1 cent sales tax increase. I didn't support it when it came around last time. And a lot of that has to do with the money isn't earmarked to any specific direction. So if we don't have specific areas that it's going to, the money is just going to be spent elsewhere, and it didn't do what it said it was going to do.
But you would be supportive of education if it did have a guarantee in it?
I support education, yes. The 1 cent sales tax, I think any kind of sales tax typically hurts the poorest first. And so I'm not a big fan of sales tax to begin with, but I don't think that increasing the sales tax is a way to do it. I think that I support a fairer, flatter tax for everyone, for individuals and businesses, and I think that that's something that Arizona voters and people would support.
Tyler Mott is with us. He's a Republican. He's the president of the Pima County Young Republicans. He will be facing off in the fall against Steve Farley, Democrat state representative, who is now running for the Senate seat after Paula Abad was termed out. How about Rosemont Mine? Have you taken a position on that, Tyler?
I support Rosemont. I think that businesses that are willing to come into the area and to help create jobs need to be supported. Of course, we have to have oversight of that. And I think that the things that Rosemont has done have been above and beyond what any other mining company has done in a similar situation. They've done some great work so far, and I look forward to when the mine does open so that we can get those jobs that will be high-paying jobs here in the Tucson area.
What are some of the things that you would like to see done that the legislature could do? You mentioned tax relief would be one of them to create jobs. What are some of the other areas that the legislature could improve upon when it comes to jobs? How about increasing our tourism?
Well, tourism is obviously very important to the state of Arizona. And I think that some of the things that some of the people in the opposite party did after SB 1070 was passed really hurt tourism in the state by offering boycotts and things like that. I don't support boycotts of Arizona. I think that we need to help Arizona businesses, not hurt them, not go after and attack them directly. something that was going to help in the Tucson area is getting our transportation nightmares fixed. And I do support fixing the roads here. I think that that's very important, and I think that being in the majority, I would have a distinct advantages to what my opponent would have if he was elected to this position, because he'll just continue to vote no on everything. But I will be able to actually pass legislation to get money back to Tucson to fix our roads here. I'm not a big fan of the modern streetcar. I want to actually do things that Arizona voters and Tucson drivers will actually appreciate and actually be able to use. And our road situation is disastrous here.
It certainly is. Now, what about more information about Tyler?
I have a website, which is just tylermott.com. One of the other things that I do want to talk about, though, is tort reform, which I
quickly,
which I am,
yeah,
which I am
give
a big
you about 15, 30 seconds there.
So tort reform is very important to me. My dad being in the medical profession, I know that it's something that we can definitely work on, and I do intend to work on that as a state senator. But you can go and get more information about me at tylermott.com, just spelled TYLERMOTT.com.
Okay, Tyler, thank you very much. We'll talk before the election. Thanks a lot.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, coming up now on 12:45 on the Buckmaster Show, we'll talk next with the new director of the Pima County Library System. That's coming up next on the midweek edition of Buckmaster. If you're having foot or lower back pain, you're not alone. My Foot Doctor recommended custom foot orthotics created by Bob Novak. Bob is a certified pedorthist and best in Southern Arizona at creating just the right foot support at a price you can afford. Please give Bob Novak, the owner of Arizona Limb and Brace, a call at 795-2553 or visit Bob at Rosemont and Fifth. I did, and my feet thank me every day.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you during the past 5 years, completing over 400 projects, including 5 major roadways. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson, Kolb Road extension to Sabino Canyon Road, and Speedway from Camino Seco to Houghton. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for fresh and healthy pizzas, pastas, paninis, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is handcrafted using the finest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore's award-winning wood-fired pizzas, certified authentic by the world-renowned Verace Pizza Napolitana Academy, is pizza perfection. Vero Amore, North Swan at Camp Lowell, and in Marana at Dove Mountain, and on the web at veroamorepizza.com and on Facebook.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received 2 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
From antique to contemporary, Persia to Pakistan, Tibet to Turkey, Karimi Oriental Rugs brings the world to Tucson at the corner of East Fort Lowell and Dodge. Owner-operator Amir Karimi personally selects the world's finest exquisite hand-woven rugs. Sale, purchases, wash, repair, restore, and appraise. KarimiOrientalRugs.com.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com. Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show as we push on to 12:50 on this Wednesday afternoon. School and public libraries in Arizona are preparing for a tough new state law. It's aimed at filtering obscene online content. The new law, which takes effect August 1st, establishes consequences for those entities that don't have a strict policy against such materials. The state can withhold 10% of its funding if the school or library does not comply. Joining us now on the Buckmaster Show is Melinda Cervantes. She is the new Pima County Public Library Director, and she was up in Pinal County. She was the librarian there in Florence before she became head of the Santa Clara County Library District in San Jose, California. Melinda, good to see you. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you for inviting me.
How is the new job going?
You know, I'm enjoying myself immensely. Pima County Public Library is a widely regarded, highly regarded library, and it's a real treat to be working here.
And the library went through this transition with the city and county, and how has that worked out?
Well, about 6 years ago, that transition did occur, and we think it's working fine. We've had a lot of staff who push through some of the, you know, challenging decisions, but I hope the public recognizes that the ongoing and good service and under Pima County in particular, continuing to grow our services, we've had dedicated property tax, so that makes a big difference.
Let's talk a little bit about this new obscenity law. What do you make of it?
Well, the it's actually an amended law, so I want to make that clarification.
Okay.
There's two sections that are being amended, but essentially the Pima County Public Library went through a process in started in 2007, but it took a couple of years. We had a very large and diverse group that made up a Internet Policy Review Committee, and we're doing everything currently to abide by the existing and, of course, newly amended law. And the only change that our customers will see is that we're going to post a sign that has some basic rules and such that are coming out of the state library. I think it'll be largely, have very little impact on our customers. They will continue to use the computers in the library as they have, but we already filter. We filter for children and we filter for adults.
More and more people do rely on the library system for help in so many ways, whether it's their homework or searching for a job, preparing taxes. Is that kind of the library of the future?
Well, that's the library of today.
The library of today.
We actually have a significant investment in both computer literacy training for adults who, in particular, who've not had an opportunity to use computers because so many jobs do require online application. We have job help centers in our branch libraries. We work with the One Stop program and bring in computer trainers. So we have all those services available at every one of our branches. And in a few cases, we have job help centers. So lots of services to help people find jobs, workshops included.
And digital materials?
We have digital materials. And there's a new Pew Internet study that indicates that a lot of people are not aware that they can download ebooks. And other online resources, journal articles and such from the library. But we have been in the digital download business for at least 5 years, and we're continuing to grow that collection, but not forsaking our print collection. We have a significant print collection still available to borrow.
What is the future of the print collection with Kindle and all these other sources? Myself, I'm old school, Melinda. I like a book in front of me. I like the hard copy. But a lot of people are transitioning over. I wonder, what is the future of the hard copy?
Well, you've hit upon the question of the day.
I mean, it must be the question that when librarians get together with your associations, and I'm sure you have one, they probably ask, well, what is the library of the future going to look like?
Right. Well,
will there be a small area under lock and key? This is what a book used to look like.
I hope not to see that day.
Yes.
If the last 5 years are any indication of what the next 5 or 10 years looks like, I think we're going to have an array of resources. Libraries have always carried multiple formats. You'll remember the whole beta VHS. We've had debate.
I had a beta machine. We always used to say the quality is so much better. And I thought it was with the beta versus the VHS, but of course beta went away.
Right. Yeah. So we are, again, continuing. We have CDs, we have DVDs, we have e-books, we have audiobooks on CD, we have downloadable audio, downloadable e-books. And online research databases, so you can find those journals and magazines online. I do think going forward, our greatest challenge in this is how we are going to convince the publishers that libraries are still a critical point of information for most of our public. We have some publishers who are not selling e-books to public libraries. They are trying to sell them only direct or indirectly through major distributors like Amazon, like iBooks. And so that is the major debate at a lot of professional meetings these days, and there's a lot of activity with the American Library Association and some other organizations, Urban Libraries Council.
Well, the whole publishing industry, Melinda, as you know, has gone through so many changes, and they are now so cost conscious that they really cut down on the not only with making those books available to the libraries, the digital versions, but the regular hard copy books, they're publishing fewer and fewer books.
That's true, and there's a lot of self-publishing going on as well. There are libraries that have equipment now in the building for books on demand so that we only buy books that individuals are actually requesting, and then once it's printed, it gets placed on the shelf. So we have a lot to consider going forward, but I'm actually very excited about the future of public libraries. I think we are, as we've always been, very creative. We have taken our space and reconfigured it many times over the last 100-plus years, and I know we'll do it again. So computer access, internet access is important to get to those digital resources. Books are here to stay for at least the next decade.
That's good to hear. Oro Valley Library has become the county's 27th branch. They were an affiliate. What does this mean for the folks in Oro Valley?
Well, I think the Oro Valley folks will see continuing and improved service. We are dedicated to bringing fully on board the staff of the Oro Valley Library as Pima County Public Library employees in January. We are right now working with the Town of Oro Valley staff as well as community members, the Friends Organization, to have a smooth transition. To those walking into Oro Valley, what you will probably notice by this fall is that we'll be open more hours. We are committed to having the Oro Valley Library match the hours roughly of our other branch libraries. And so increased service and continued good service is
that's
what
good news.
Should.
The library expanding under the new agreement from 50 to 59 hours a week, and that allows the facility to be open on Sundays. So you're bringing more service to our friends in Oro Valley. Is 27 branches about right? I mean, I don't have any way to gauge how many libraries there should be in a community our size. Is that about where we should be?
Well, we actually have plans to build, construct, and renovate a few more libraries. This is a very large county. For example, we have about 1 million people in population in Pima County, stretched over 10,000 square miles. The city of San Jose has nearly the same number of branches, serving 1 million in a probably something less than 2,000 square miles, maybe even 1,000 square miles. So we are stretched by geography, mm-hmm. and where we can't put a physical branch, we do have our virtual branch library, which is online. Lots of services available by phone, by email, by through the internet. And we also have our bookmobile. And you might be aware, we just took the bookmobile and the book bike up Mount Lemmon on the 4th of July.
Oh,
we were
cool.
part of their parade up there.
Do you have a website that you would like to give out?
Sure. It's library.pima.gov.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot. Melinda Cervantes, the new director of the Pima County Library System, and that is going to wrap it up. Melinda, thanks a lot and good luck to you.
Thank you very much for having me.
And you like living in Tucson?
I'm enjoying it. My husband's a Tucsonan.
All right. That's going to wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. Bottled water on our program is provided by Culligan. We are delighted that they make this service available for us. Culligan offers, I think, the best drinking water. Why? Well, I think it just tastes better. And the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. And that will wrap it up for the Wednesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Tomorrow we'll lead things off talking about that making the 1 cent sales tax permanent for education. Ann E. Peterson will join us tomorrow to lead the show off. Have a great afternoon.